Amen. Thank you for that song. And aren't you so thankful that he loves us? Amen. We are not worthy, but he sees worth in us. He sees value in us because we're created in his image. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6 is going to be our text as we continue to study about being full. And if you're able, would you stand with me for the reading of God's Word this morning? Lord willing, we'll get through this message this morning, and tonight we'll have another message in this series before we move on to looking towards Christmas time. But we want to talk to you about covetousness this morning, to beware of covetousness. And then tonight we're going to talk about being content. Hebrews 13 and verse 5 says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I pray that you would open our ears today, that we would have ears to hear, open our eyes to understand the truth of your word today. Lord, I pray that you'd help me to preach by the power of your Spirit. I pray that you'd put a hedge about this place and about this message, that the seed of the word of God would find good ground and bear fruit to your glory. I pray that if anyone in this service today or watching online has never been born again, that today would be the day they would repent of their sin and unbelief, that they would trust with all their heart in the finished work of Jesus, that they would believe and that they would call on your name and be saved. I pray for all who are saved that we would be fully surrendered to you, serve you faithfully in the local church. Please bless our time together in your word and help me, for I'm nothing without you, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Covetousness seems to be a difficult thing for us to get a handle on as Americans in our day and age today. Covetousness is that love or that greed, that love of money, that greed, that desire for something else. It's a selfish desire. We talked a little bit about the fact over the last week that it's not wrong to have lawful desires, but covetousness is born of sensual desires. It's born of fleshly desires. It's born of carnality. It's not a right desire. And so we want to learn about that today, because Jesus warns us in Luke 12:15, take heed and beware of covetousness. So if the Lord Jesus Christ says to beware, then we ought to beware. Now, I've told you before, we like to go door to door at Calvary's from house to house in our community, just like the Bible says, from house to house, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And sometimes we go to houses where there is a fence and a sign on the gate that says, beware of dog. Now, I want to tell you that the vast majority of the people who go door to door with me really take those signs seriously. As a matter of fact, they take them so seriously, they're very happy for me to go in the yard while they stay in the van. Yeah, there's love in that. I'm just not sure where. I learned a long time ago that when you go to a house and the gate has a sign that says, beware of dog, I like to do the pre-open rattle. You rattle the gate a little bit just to make sure. Because I'm going to tell you, the most trouble I've ever had with dogs is when you don't know that they're there. When you make it to the front porch and you ring the doorbell and then you hear that giant Rottweiler that was laying under the porch, right? I was reading some stories about different people. Did you know 14 people are killed on average every year by dog attacks in America? Thousands are hospitalized because of dog attacks. You think about all the service people, maybe the cable man or the back in the day, the phone man or the pool man, different ones who have to go into people's yards, and a lot of them are attacked. Of course, the classic is the postal worker, right? The mail person. The dog's always after them. I wonder how many times those attacks could be avoided if somebody would have just paid attention to the warning sign. A lot of people have fallen prey to covetousness because they haven't listened to the Lord's concern for it. He said, beware of covetousness. Let your conversation. Now in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, this word conversation has got to do with your lifestyle. Let the way that you live your life be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. I want to tell you this morning that covetousness is deceptive. Covetousness is deceptive. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5 speaks of the fact that he says, for neither at any time use we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness. In other words, covetousness can be deceptive. Covetousness can be hidden. Covetousness can be in your life and you not even know it. When we look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, and we'll look a little bit more in depth at 1 Timothy 6 tonight, but 1 Timothy 6 verse 9 says, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men into destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Now, being rich isn't a sin, but he says those, in verse 9, he says those that will be rich. This is their heart's desire. This is what they're after more than anything else. And he says if that's your focus, you're going to get lots of trouble for that. Now, in verse 10, we see the love of money is the root of all evil. And you might say, well, preacher, that doesn't seem right. The love of money can't really be the root of all evil, but I want you to know that it's at the heart of breaking all of the commandments. This phrase, the love of money, literally means the love of silver. It's the same Greek word that we get this word covetousness from. The love of money is literally love of silver, or it's covetousness. It's greed. It's loving money, loving something more than we love God. I want to invite you to look in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20 today. Exodus chapter 20, we find the commandments. And we're going to run through these real quick, and I want you to see how covetousness is at the heart of breaking the commandments. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 3 says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Verse 4 says, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. When we look at these commandments to have no other gods before God, to not make any graven image, the Bible tells us that covetousness is idolatry. When we love something more than we love God, when we serve it more than we serve God, when we value something more than we value God, that is covetousness, and that is by definition idolatry. And so when we love something more than we love God, when we serve something more than we serve God, what we've done is elevated it above God, and that is covetousness. Covetousness is what leads us to violate the first two commandments. The third commandment, look down at verse 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Now, anytime we use the name of God or Jesus without reverence or without respect, that is blasphemy. When we look at this, so many times we just think of somebody using God's name as a curse word. They smash their thumb with a hammer and they take the name of our Lord in vain. We think about it with people saying OMG all of the time these days, and it just comes out of the mouths of everyone today, and no regard for him. But I want you to think about this in the light of covetousness. Anytime we bring God's name down, and how many people use the name of God only to fulfill their selfish desires? How many people invoke the name of God just to get ahead maybe in business, maybe to look a little bit better than they actually are? Maybe they don't really love God. They're not really concerned for the things of God, but they use his name, and their use of his name is empty because they have no love for God. They have no heart for God. They have no desire to worship God. It's just using his name, and it's empty. It's driven by covetousness. Look at verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Amen. Now, some of you, I don't want to offend any of our senior saints here today, but some of you can remember when you couldn't go anywhere shopping on a Sunday. Amen. Anybody remember that? There were no stores open, there were no places open, there were no restaurants open, there was no place to go on Sundays. Everything was shut down because the majority of the people in our country saw the importance of honoring the day that we gather to worship the Lord. Amen. Then it got to be, well, people need to be able to buy diapers and milk on Sunday, so you could go to the store, but there were only certain things that you could purchase, and I have a vague recollection of that. When you could go to the store, but if you picked up some of the things you couldn't buy and took them to the register, they would not sell them to you because those things weren't allowed to be sold on Sundays. Now, I defy you to find any place that's closed on Sunday besides Chick-fil-A.
Amen.
So if you want waffle fries today, you'll have to go somewhere else. Why is it that companies and businesses and people don't honor the Sabbath day? Is it not for the love of money?
Amen.
Is it not to get gains? Is it not because we love money, we love profits, we love wealth more than we worship and honor God? Look at verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. This is the first commandment with promise. I would say today we see the fulfillment of prophecy that people are without natural affection. I would say today that we can see clearly that children do not love and honor and care for their parents like they should. People don't want to invest the time or the money that it takes to care for their aged parents the way that they should. And by the way, just while we're talking about it, it goes the other way as well. We see children are unwanted and uncared for in our society today. The love of many is truly waxed cold. To see the way that families mistreat one another, it's just beyond understanding today. And we see, what is it? What is it that drives this lack of love? Is it not covetousness? Is it not that I can't invest my time and my resources into caring for you because I have to take care of me first? We see the sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill. Listen, I would challenge you. I think you'd have a hard time looking in the news and finding a case of murder that wasn't tied to covetousness.
Amen.
There have been people murdered so that somebody could have their tennis shoes. There have been people murdered so that somebody could take their car.
Amen.
Or their hubcaps, just the caps.
Amen.
People have been murdered to take things away. It's driven by covetousness.
Amen.
Of course, we can see adultery, verse 14, thou shalt not commit adultery. It ties directly to verse 17 where we see, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Adultery is always committed with covetousness at the root.
Amen.
Thou shalt not steal. Again, obviously, people take from other people because they want what they have. It's the very definition of covetousness. What about bearing false witness? Verse 16, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Sometimes people will lie about someone else. They'll bear false witness to take away their character. Their character is better than you want it to be, so you will tell a lie about them. You'll make them seem worse than they actually are. People lie all the time to get ahead themselves. And so we see covetousness is at the root. This love of money is at the root of breaking all of the commandments. And so many times, we look at all of the sins that we might commit, and we might confess so many things to the Lord. Lord, I told a lie the other day. Lord, please forgive me for telling that lie. I got angry without a cause the other day. Maybe somebody would confess, I looked with lust, or we would go down the list of these commandments. But how many times have you gone to the Lord and said, Lord, I've got a heart of covetousness? How many times have we been willing to admit the fact that at the heart of all of our sin is we're not satisfied with what we have, we're deceived by our own covetousness, and we fail to confess it to the Lord like we should? Let your life be without covetousness. Beware of covetousness. It's deceptive. It's hidden in all of the sins that we might commit. And it takes away our eternal perspective. I want to draw your attention there to Luke chapter 12, where I already mentioned verse 15. But if you go to Luke chapter 12 and back up to verse 13, Luke 12, 13, it says, "And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Amen. He spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." When the Lord warns of covetousness, he does it on the heels of a man saying, hey, master, tell my brother to give me my portion of my inheritance. He says, listen, young man, you are loving money too much. Be careful, because you've set money and you've made it your God. Beware of covetousness. And then after that, he gives us this parable. Man, this man is blessed of God. In the parable, this man has got fields and he brings in plentifully so much that his barns can't even contain it all. He says, yeah, you know what I'm going to do? I'll just tear those down. I'll build bigger barns and then I can just kick back and enjoy my life. He was all set for down here, but he was not ready for up there. Amen. And the Lord said, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Listen, covetousness takes away our eternal perspective. Amen. When we're focused on fulfilling the desires of the flesh, when we're focused on things down here and relationships down here, and we're focused on everything down here that's temporal, it takes away our focus. Life isn't about what we have. Amen. Life isn't about what we have. And the Lord says, beware of covetousness. Not only does it take away our eternal perspective, but it takes our joy. Covetousness steals the joy of keeping the commandment. Sin isn't fulfilling. Sin doesn't satisfy, but righteousness does. You see, the devil's done a good job of deceiving us. We've done a good job of deceiving ourselves because we love our covetousness. Yeah. That goes along with Thanksgiving. We love our covetousness. We love the desires that we have. We love to try to get those things fulfilled, but they never will satisfy. Amen. Listen, you go down the commandments. I promise you, if you see what somebody else has and you desire that thing and you take that thing away, it's not going to satisfy you. It's not going to fulfill you. Number one, you're going to have the guilt of stealing, and then you're going to have to deal with the repercussions of stealing and when you get caught, and then you're going to want to steal something else because that's not going to be enough. If we look at adultery, you see someone else's spouse and you think that you want them and you think if I could just have that relationship, then everything would be better. I promise you, it's happened time and time again. If you got that relationship, it would not satisfy you. We go down the list. We don't love, we don't care for others the way that we should. We don't love our neighbor, but we think that covetousness is going to satisfy. We think it's going to fulfill. But it doesn't fulfill, it doesn't satisfy. Amen. Sin doesn't satisfy, amen. But righteousness does. We talked in our Sunday school lesson this morning about having a good conscience. And somebody once said that there's no softer pillow than a good conscience. Amen. Listen, when you've done what's right and you've got peace in your heart, you've got contentment with who you are in Christ and what he's done for you and what he's given to you, then you can have joy and peace that cannot come from sin. In Psalm 119, verse 36, Psalm 119, verse 36 says, "Incline mine heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness." Amen. Incline mine heart to thy testimonies and not to covetousness. If you back up to verse 35, he says, "Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight." Amen. There's real joy in keeping the commandments. To flee that covetousness, to leave those things, those fleshly desires alone. Because Ecclesiastes 5:10 says, "He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase." This also is vanity. Amen. That love of silver, that is covetousness. And he says, if you love it, you're not going to be satisfied with it because you're never, ever going to have enough. Amen. We've seen it so much where people have more money than we could ever even begin to imagine. There are billionaires in the world today. Billionaires. I can barely write down 1 billion. There's too many zeros. And I promise you, they are not satisfied.
Amen.
Never satisfied. "So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Covetousness is deceptive. It takes away our eternal perspective. It takes away our joy. But I want you to know, not only is covetousness deceptive, it's actually deadly. Covetousness is deadly dangerous. Now, we tend to not think it's that serious. And I want to share with you what Albert Barnes said about covetousness. He said, Do we not feel that there is a great difference between a covetous man and a man of impure and licentious life? Why is this? In other words, he says, we look at somebody who's covetous and we say, well, they're not as bad as somebody who's living a wicked and immoral lifestyle. Why is this? Because one, it's so common. It's so common. We don't tend to think much about covetousness because everybody's covetous. It's like a bunch of boys playing basketball. If you're not playing ball with them, you notice how bad they smell. But if you're playing with them, then everybody smells and you don't even notice it. Right? That's the way covetousness is. Listen, we all stink and we don't even know it. It's so common. Number two, he said, because it is found among those who make pretensions to refinement and even religion. In other words, covetousness is not something that we see outside the church. It's not something that we see just out there in the world. This isn't people who are laying in the gutter and have destroyed their lives by wicked lifestyles. This isn't somebody who's out there that seems to be so bad. It's right here in the mix of people who seem to be religious. And so we don't think it's that bad. It doesn't seem as bad because it's found among those who are refined and even religious. Number three, he says, because it is not so easy to define what is covetousness as it is to define impurity of life. Listen, somebody robbed a bank. That's easy. Bank robber, thief. Somebody murdered somebody else. Murderer. That's easy. We can look at sinful lifestyles out there. We can look at these violations of the law that are so easy to define. But covetousness is deceptive. It's hidden. It's harder to pinpoint. Number four, he said, because the public conscience is seared and the mind blinded to the low and groveling character of the sin. People don't think covetousness is wrong in the world today. As a matter of fact, some of you sitting here right now or watching online may look at covetousness and say, it's not really that bad to want something else. It's not bad to want someone else. It's not that bad to want. That's just something that's inside, that's in my own mind. It's not that bad. But I'm here to tell you today that covetousness is deadly dangerous. You may not think it's that bad. You may think it's your own secret sin. You may think it's something that's hidden. But I promise you, it's more dangerous than you realize. Proverbs 28:16 says, "The prince that wanteth or lacks understanding is also a great oppressor, but he that hateth covetousness shall prolong his days." If you hate covetousness, you'll prolong your days, so just go ahead and take the converse of that. So if being not covetous makes me prolong my days, then what happens if I am covetous? Amen. It means my days are going to be shortened. Isaiah 57:17 says, "For the iniquity of his covetousness was I wroth and smote him. I hid me and was wroth, and he went on frowardly in the way of his heart." When God talks about Israel being covetous, when God talks about other nations being covetous, when God talks about his people being in covetousness, God says, "I was wroth." If you want to have the anger of God, you want to talk about something being dangerous, put yourself under the wrath of Almighty God. Amen. And being covetous will put you there. Mark 7:20-23. By the end of this message, I'm going to learn how to say covetousness, and I'm excited about that prospect. I appreciate you guys not laughing at me every time I say it wrong. "That which cometh out of the mouth, out of the man, that defileth the man. For within, out of the heart of men, proceedeth evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness." Amen. Have you ever noticed the company that covetousness keeps? Evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Now, we may be able to look and say, adultery, that's really, really bad. Murder, that's really, really bad. And we may look at some of these things in the list and say, that's really, really evil. But the Lord Jesus Christ says covetousness is just as evil. And it comes out of our heart and it defiles our lives. In Romans 1:28-32, it says in verse 28, "Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." When the Word of God describes those who have suppressed the knowledge of God in their unrighteousness, those who God has given over to a reprobate mind, right in the middle of the list of the way that they live their life is this deadly sin of covetousness. Would you look with me to Ephesians 5:1. I want to make sure that you're convinced today that by the authority of the Word of God, covetousness is deadly dangerous. Ephesians 5:1. "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger nor unclean person nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them." He lists out all of these things, covetousness being right in the middle, and then he clears it up for you even further in verse 5, "No whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. You might say covetousness just isn't that big a deal. Brother Isaac, just wanting more, wanting something different. If we have lawful desires, there's nothing wrong with that. But thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Anything that is thy neighbor's. At the heart of covetousness is this. I'm not satisfied with what God's given to me. I'm not satisfied with who God has made me. I'm not satisfied with who God has put into my life. God has messed up, and I'm going to fix it myself. That's the attitude of a covetous man. It's deadly dangerous. Many people have refused to turn away from their sin and put their faith in Christ because not only of pride, but because of covetousness. But I've got great news for you today. There is hope. Have you ever felt like your sin was too much, that it was too strong, that it was too powerful? There was no way you could overcome it. I think any honest Christian who's been saved for any amount of time would have to confess that. But I'm here to tell you today there is hope. Amen. And through the grace of God, we can overcome. Amen. But today I told you that covetousness is deceptive. The man might say, I wouldn't ever actually cheat on my wife. I'm just looking at something on a screen. That's deceptive. It's deceptive. And at the heart of that lust is, and what Jesus said, he that looks with lust has committed adultery already in his heart. That's lust, that's adultery, but at the heart of it is covetousness. You see that? So it's deceptive. And you might say, well, preacher, I'm living a pretty good life. I'm not done any of these things, but not just the thing itself. God looks into your heart. The desire, is that desire there? That covetous nature there. But we can be delivered. I want to invite you back to Isaiah chapter 57. And we're going to go back to verse 14. Isaiah 57 and verse 14. And she'll say, cast ye up, prepare the way. Take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. For I will not contend forever, neither will I be always wroth, for the spirit should fall before me and the souls which I have made. For the iniquity of his covetousness was I wroth, and smote him, and hid me, and was wroth. And he went on frowardly in the way of his heart. I have seen his ways, and I will heal him. I will lead him also, and restore comforts unto him and to his mourners. I create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace to him that is far off, and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Listen, in the middle of this, he says they were covetousness and I was angry with them. But did you notice that he said, I will give peace to those that are of a contrite and humble spirit. Amen. If you have been guilty of covetousness, if you are guilty today of covetousness, you can be forgiven. But what you can't do is continue on in that wickedness. You can't continue on in that covetousness. You can't continue on that way. You can't just listen to the message today and say, yeah, I've got some covetousness in my heart. There's some things I'm not satisfied with. I don't have contentment like I should, and just go on. But what you must do is humble yourself before God. You must be contrite in your spirit. That means that you've got a desire to change. You must be willing to come before God today and humbly say, Lord, I have got a covetous heart. I've got a covetous spirit. I want things that I shouldn't want. And Lord, I need you to forgive me. I need you to deliver me. And if you'll humble yourself before him, he will deliver you and give you peace. Now listen, that may not be very exciting to you this morning, but I want to tell you that it makes me full of joy to know that my God will forgive me when I come to him in repentance and faith. It overwhelms me with joy to know that no matter what I've said or no matter what I've done or what I've failed to do, no matter what I've thought in my mind, no matter what fleshly desires that I've had, that God sees that and he knows that and he loves me anyway. Amen. And if I humble myself before him and come bring that broken spirit to him, that he will forgive me and he will heal me and he will help me, and he'll do that for you today. This morning we're going to get ready for a verse of invitation. And while they're coming, will you stand with me, please? Covetousness is dangerous. It's deceptive. It's deadly. But you can be delivered today and day by day if you'll turn to the Lord this morning. In Colossians 3, he talks about covetousness and all the wicked sin and the wrath of God coming on that. But he says in Colossians 3:7, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. That's not who we are today. It's who we used to be. And we could put off the old man and put on the new man by faith today. The Holy Spirit's convicting your heart this morning. Listen, it's not okay to continue in our covetousness. It's not okay to be convicted and know we need to repent and be disobedient even more. What is okay is to admit that we have a problem, to confess to the Lord, and then we can find forgiveness. If he's convicting your heart this morning, I want to invite you to come, or if you're at home watching online, right where you're at, that we would all get our hearts right with the Lord today. Be real with him, confess, and he will forgive us today. What we sing. Hey, Bob.